Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Well, I somewhat rudely cut off a caller in the last hour for wanting to talk Penguins because we were talking Steelers. But here at the top of the hour, we're going to talk Penguins because we have to talk Penguins. Because, I mean, first of all, we have Jay Caulfield on, who's great. But secondly, this has become dire. This is the type of team, it's the type of situation where if you've been around hockey for any length of time, a coach gets fired. I mean, it just does. I would say in the history of hockey, almost every coach would have been fired by now, Jay. Just to start out on this note, sort of a harsh note, but I think that Mike Sullivan, not every coach has won two cups either. So I think that he gets a lot of leeway here, but I would argue that after two disappointing seasons followed by a horrific start and a loss like they had the other night, I'm thinking almost every coach in that situation would be fired. And thank you for coming on again, and how are you?
Good, Joe. Yeah, nice to talk to you, and everybody, big Thanksgiving week. And as far as your topic, and yeah, I mean, Mike Sullivan even knows that. I mean... Across the board, I mean, whatever their conversations are, I am sure as a coach and when he's in that locker room and what he's harping on and what he's trying to get across to the team and how they have to play, whether they're older and, you know, not as fast as we're used to seeing from years ago, but still the same concepts apply and what he's trying to have them do. And to not see it be, you know, put to work and on display each and every game night is going to be extremely disappointing, right? So, and then from there, yeah, I mean, like, there isn't many, not even this long. And he earned, you know, the two cups and how that extended. It's a long leash for whatever it might be. But the loss the other night in that fashion with 3 days in between, normally you would probably think that if there was going to be any kind of move, it could have happened around then. And nobody, again, Mike Sullivan's harping, guarantee he's harping on the things that we see each and every night. The mistakes, the step-ups, the odd man breaks, all that kind of thing. And the players are not carrying out what his message is. And the fan base knows it. The building feels it. The building was letting everybody know it the other night. So, you know, they could easily say there's not better coach out there than what Mike Sullivan has been and what he is. But with this team right now, it's just not built. They're just not responding to what's going on. And guys are getting opportunities to get called up and guys injured and there's nothing really happening. And it's a flat team right now. And with that being said, they're still not even that far out of like the Eastern Conference outside of a couple teams that are the usual suspects, Joe, that are going to run away and hopefully probably get the top three. The fight is on already for, to be talking wild card when you're in November is a bad thing. But that being said, what are they, 4 or 5 points out of that? because the rest of the league has been kind of mediocre too. So you get any team gets on any kind of run, they can climb themselves back into it. But I do agree with you. There's not a if you took a face out of it and the personality out of it and what they've accomplished, they don't survive what's been going on here for the Penguins, and we'll see how it plays out. I believe the games between now and game 30, 23 and 30, we'll know where they're at and what moves are going to be made, because if they don't play better hockey, they're going to go through tough games, and if they don't pick it up and play to a level that I'm sure the fan base wants and what Mike Sullivan expects, if they don't do that, then this next seven games will put them in a really, really worse position than they are, and I expect something to happen by the end of that, I would think.
Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield, brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. So we've talked about this a number of times, including, I think, just last week. But since then, we saw Sid himself get in a fight against the Jets.
Yep.
And, Jay, I guess my belief is that the fan base would be more enthusiastic about Sid and maybe Gino and Letang surrounded by a bunch of kids who just want to fight. Who that's all they want to do. I'm not talking literally fight, but want to fight to win. This ain't cutting it, man. Why is he the one, and why doesn't anybody else do that?
Yeah, I don't know that, Joe. I know the game. We've said this for years as us being on the radio together. I know the game is different, but it's not that different, right? It should not be. It's men playing a sport that aggression comes out, and when just from the natural, just the flow of a game. And when you're getting throttled on a given night and many given nights, and you step on the ice and you have an opportunity to do something that separates you from the other guys in the roster that are going to find their way back, I don't understand that. And when you do see your captain and the best player, that really one of the best players of all time, is the one that's stirring it up. And he had a beef going on with Connor that night anyway, so that's just a guy that's pride and all that. I've said this a lot of times. I would not want to be a guy that walks in the locker room like you just played a game, you know, hang up your gear, take a shower, then go home and come to the rink the next day without realizing who you're looking at in the room, and you didn't do anything. The mentality of the lineup isn't what anybody likes or wants to see. And listen, nobody wants to be in this position as a player. The locker room is brutal. It's a bad atmosphere when you're losing. There's no music on. It's not this. There's nothing fun about it. You're getting into the holidays and you're just trailing. I don't understand. You know what brings together teams is guys battling like that and battling when things are down and showing the fight, the aggression. And like you said, I'm not talking about fighting, but just a hit. One of the largest wars of the night was Achari making a hit behind the net.
Yeah.
Then the next one was, then you have Crosby doing what he does. I have no idea, Joe. I don't understand it. I don't understand. It might be the makeup of some players today, but across the league, there's a lot of stuff going on in games. I haven't seen a game where you're losing 6-0 and nothing ever happened. Lose 6-1 to a team that you're supposed to maybe, you know, it's like literally, it's not an expansion team because they went from Arizona to Utah, but it's a team that you're going to take care of business on your home ice. And I just don't see that spirit that the Pittsburgh fan base wants to see. And I guarantee you, management and coaching staff alike, ownership isn't liking what they're seeing. So what it takes them to, I said, that example I use is real. It's you walk in the locker room and you're going to sit across from Sidney Crosby, who had a fight, does all these things, makes a big hit the other night before his goal. He's the one driving it. It's not a great team feeling right now, and you can see it every night. The building feels it. Hey, look, I mean, if guys want to, I would always think if you want to keep your job, if you're that bubble player and you want to keep your job, you should be doing something a little bit different. And some guys aren't wired that way or built that way. Certain players, they're not the players that we're seeing aren't guys, but you can certainly take a good hard run at somebody or, you know, just something. That's I don't know. That's what I feel. That's what I think. That's what it's like when you watch it. Why is that not happening? And when your captain is the guy that does it, you know, kind of wild for me. But, again, I don't know how you look at him in the locker room when you come in. I never would want to look at – I've said it a lot. I never want to look at Mario or Kevin Stevens, Rick Tocchet, guys that battle each and every night. Mark Greinke when he was there. You know, Trotz, Yager, all the guys. If your job or role is as you go down the lineup, you know, your job is something on the physical side of it, then you better be doing it, especially when you're losing, because you're going to be the guy that's out of the lineup when healthy guys come back or changes are made. And I don't understand the lack of drive from certain guys that have an opportunity that aren't doing that. And then they talk about it afterwards, like, well, we need to be better. That's now 20 games in. And people, you could tell, you know, at the last number of games, the people, the fan base, are really tired of it.
Man, I co-sign everything you said there. Well, rather than identify some of the guys who aren't as into it as they should be, can you pick a younger guy or two that you believe absolutely cares, that brings the fight, a younger guy or two on this team that you'd like to go to battle with or would have liked to?
Man, I mean, you know, let's say Nivney on the blue line, Shea on the blue line, right? There are two guys on the blue line that will play hard, but they're the ones that are the odd man out every once in a while, right? I mean, but on the blue line, let's say Nivney's going to battle. Shea's going to battle. He's been playing the offside. Up front, it's different because the young guys up front, Joe, that have a chance to come in here, like Poulin needed to be way more physical all the time. He's a bigger body. He had to be. And now look, he's sent down. He's gone. Like, he's down in the minors. And you still have other players still getting healthy. So if he finds his way back, I don't know. You got me on that. I don't know if that, but that's the guy that had to do it. I don't see anybody else on that lineup that's a young player to answer your question, no, I don't. I don't see it. I don't see it in the guys that we've seen that are considered younger. I mentioned the two guys on the blue line. And that's guys who I think, if it wasn't for the situations that we have on the blue line, like who's there, who's paid, I think that same Nivey and Shea could find themselves in the lineup each and every night and bring a little bit of something. So, but I don't see it up. I don't see it on the forward group up front. I mean, look, you have Brian Rust that plays the game hard all the time. And we know what Malkin and Crosby, we understand all that, what goes with that. But I don't see it after that. I mean, really. I mean, Achari, you're talking younger guys. Achari's a veteran, plays hard, gives everything he's got. But go ahead. I don't know, unless I'm missing somebody, no. I don't see anybody that makes you feel like, hey, this guy's going to bring it along on a given night when it's tough. And I don't see that.
Yeah, I'd sure like to see Shea and St. Ivany more together. And I'm with you on St. Ivany. He's the guy that jumped off the bench like it was 1976, game where Sid was getting into it. He just said, screw it. I'm getting in there, and I'm fighting that guy. I love that, and I think fans love that. And I think fans would respond to a team. Everybody gets it, Jay. We all get it. Yeah. I get it. You get it. Everybody who pays money in that building gets it. They're on the downside. Yep. They won their cups. They're on the downside. They need to go young. So at some point, I really believe people would rally around a young, energetic, you know, willing to crawl over broken glass type guys to win. I think they would prefer that, and I wonder if Sid would prefer that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think he's re-signed here. They don't want. You know, the word rebuild is a kind of a nasty word. And if you're a veteran player and you're playing it out, especially at the level, he's playing the game. I mean, he doesn't want it, but he re-signed to be here to try and turn things around and try and get going there again. I agree. What they're seeing right now is not – and look, there's so many issues in from the goaltending on out, what that was all about, what it got this team off to such a bad start. And by the way, when I made that comment about not being far out, truthfully, they're not out of a of a wild card spot already, we're talking, right?
Yeah.
But they're not that far behind. You rattle off three wins in a row and watch all of a sudden you go, oh, okay, oh, we're in the hunt for that. But that's a fact. Right? That is, because look at the bottom feeders. That they're in the grouping of bottom feeders right now that are fighting for, you know, where you're going to play, what position are you going to be, but you have a chance for the wild card. Well, the Penguins do have a chance for wild card, but they got to play, they got to get just solid goaltending each and every night. They got to get, you know, production from the guys that aren't, you know, that you need the second wave of offense with consistency. And you don't see that. I mean, I'm saying that they're not far out, but they have to pull a lot of things together. And I also said, Mike Sullivan is a coach. I don't know what more he can do, really. You got to be in the coaching staff when you're going over it repeatedly what you expect. Repeatedly have a hard practice for the first time in a while, like a physical practice, and guys come out and there's a goal, you're trailing already. That's not the response that he's expecting to get and what he's, you know, any coach would expect to get. It's just the message doesn't get across, and that's where you think you would see guys be really hungry. But instead, it go back to what you said about Crosby, the hit he made on Smotch before the goal that he scored that drew the penalty. You know, that's the kind of play that the fans went crazy. So I agree. Like, how do you get to build that? I mean, I'm sure Kyle Dubas is looking at each and everything. What am I trying to put together here? I thought the acquisitions I made would be different or would respond different. He's not getting what he wanted from even his acquisitions, free agent acquisitions, this offseason. Right? There's been injuries that have plagued them as well. Glass has got to come back. Hayes is coming back. But they're different players. That's not the player that right now that we're talking about, the energy guy that's going to bring it and make the building have a, you know, roar a little bit when it needs it. Like, it can't always be, even no matter what level it is, can't always be. There's so many players that have played the game and at different levels than what I'm talking, you know, from my side. My role was one thing. Everybody had a role, but the teams that win, guys are going to pick something up each and every day when it's flat. And you got to see it, and you have to know when to do it. You mentioned St. Ivy. He jumped out, just reacted, took care of business, but he's been the guy that's bumped in and out of the lineup. So when they bring Shea in, he takes that spot. He's a lefty on the right side. So that guy's not rewarded enough for what he can bring to the table. But that's whatever they're seeing in their film makes them make those decisions. But I do think you need to see certainly a much hungrier team or this fan base. This game tonight, I mean, they got Vancouver coming in after playing Boston last night. You got to jump on them right away. And if you don't see it, it's going to be – the fans are going to be relentless tonight, and rightfully so, because everybody knows – that's part of the deal. That's part of the business. If they don't like what you see, if they don't like what I do when they play, they'll let you know. If they like what you do, they let you know that. This fan base is very appreciative of hard work and what it's all about, and they appreciate the skill level that's been there. But I think, to your point, Joe, if they just see a hard work and hungry team blended with what Crosby does, you got to find wingers that can produce. We know all those things that go with it, but you want to see some action, want to see some liveliness for the fan that walks 10 blocks to get to a game in the rain and sits there, and the people that had their hard-earned money and they're not liking the product and they're angry about it. And so I am so are the players. It's extremely frustrating for players to be in the locker room who care. But as I said, if you're a guy that has a chance to play the game tonight, you should be doing something that's out of – even if it's out of your character. You got to run. You got to get after people, and that means just finishing a hard check, finishing a check, you know, and then being aggressive in all three zones, tough in front of the net, all that kind of thing. Marcus Pettersson has stood up for his team all the years he's been here, right? So, I mean, that's another guy that does it. He battles each and every night. He's paired with Carlson. I think that's a chore. That's a different assignment than what he's had before. He's handling that so. There's a guy, though, I have to say, I left him out. He's battled and fought some tough players in this league. And that's not his role, but he does it.
Yeah.
He has done it. So Yeah, Joe, I'm on a little rant about that, but that's how I would feel about it. And watching the games and talking about the games, you can really feel when you're in the building the negativity, and that needs to change. And it can't. I hope it changes tonight so they can get off this mark, because the fan side can turn ugly pretty quick if you find yourself behind the eight ball again here tonight.
Jay, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk next week. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, same to you guys. See you, Joe. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. Good stuff there from Jay Caulfield. I wasn't even really thinking along that line, but limits, it could get ugly. It's going to go one way or the other tonight. Like, it's going to be a lot of people there, because it always is on Thanksgiving Eve, right? It's the Wednesday game. And it could be, you know, sort of in the midst of all this horrificness, a celebration of Sid and Gino and Letang. They could have a good night together. I think that's what people are in it for a lot nowadays.
Yeah.
Is the nostalgia tour. It could be good. It could be fun tonight. A little reprieve, an oasis from this disaster of a season. Or it could get ugly from the start, and that would be really sad to see, because I think fans maybe justifiably would turn on the Penguins, turn on Sullivan in a big way if they get blown out by a really, really good team.
Well, have they not already started to do that?
Yeah.
I just think what the building looked like against Utah?
For sure. I just think tonight is a different animal. Tonight could be potentially the liveliest crowd of the season in a positive way or a negative way. You know what I mean? It's going to be lively one way or the other. And Vancouver, they're flat out good. That's what they are.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I had to laugh at one tweet I got, saying, you said Artie Smith might be drawn by the money to North Carolina. Do you know who he is, dumbass? So again, we have someone, one of millions, incapable of any civil discourse. In fact, they prefer the opposite. Yeah, of course. But do you know the nature of professional and college sports? I won't use the phrase that he used to call me, although I'm tempted to call him that. People with money want more money, idiot. Did that ever occur to you? Have you seen what happens in pro sports and college sports? Do you think that the size of his paycheck would be of no concern to Artie Smith? Is it to players who leave in free agency who have already made millions and millions of dollars? Is it to coaches who jump from program to program in college football? Come on. You're better than that. Don't you hate that phrase, limits, when people tell you you're better than that? I know you do.
I hate it a lot.
You're better than that.
It makes you feel more disappointed in yourself than, like, frustrated and upset, right?
Yeah, right. So money would be no consideration for Artie Smith. Okay. But let's go back to that situation as we effort Brian Billick. Andy Staples said that he's on a list, or how did he phrase it with the North Carolina job? He's
on the hot candidate list, pretty much.
Yeah. And Andy Staples is fairly connected. So the question again comes up, and I was going to ask Brian this. Would you rather be the Steelers offensive coordinator or the head coach? I guess I've thought about this since we posed it earlier in the show. It depends on who you are. Do you want to be a head coach? Do you want the prestige of the NFL? Here's how I would answer it in the end. What's the best way for Artie Smith to get another head coaching job? Is it to thrive as a head coach in the college ranks or to get the Steelers offense cooking in a big way? And what's more realistic for him?
No, it's by far, I think, to get the Steelers offense cooking. Not as the most realistic, but the most likely to give him another job as a head coach in the NFL. Once you go to college, I mean, we've seen it with other coaches, unless you're Urban Meyer and that awful experiment in Jacksonville, you don't really see, Joe, where a lot of college coaches are jumping to the NFL, and if that does happen, it usually fails significantly. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban with the Dolphins, Matt Rule from Nebraska to Carolina. Now, I'm not saying that Arthur Smith would be the same thing. He's already been in the NFL. But I would think that he would rather stay where he is in that same industry. It's like if you leave the one industry to go to another industry just to come back to the one industry that you're already in. Is that a logical path for you? I don't think so.
You might be right about that. I mean, I could counter your argument with Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, people like that who have succeeded in both. Chip Kelly, to a certain degree. People think he was an abject failure in Philly. He won 10 games in back-to-back years. But because that's not good enough in Philly, they fired him, same as they fired Andy Reid, and they find themselves winning from time to time, getting to Super Bowls from time to time. It's not just the Steelers model that works, right? And there have been others who have gone from college to pro, but you're right, not a ton. Not a ton of them. So in the end, probably getting the Steelers offense to really cook, to get Russ cooking. But then, how realistic is that limits? If you're Artie Smith and you're projecting ahead, and I do think this would be the bottom line for him, is how do I get back to the NFL as a head coach? How do I get back to the head coaching profession? Well, yes, it would be to get this offense really to be prolific. But is that realistic? Do you think with the ingredients on hand?
Steelers Nation. Let's ride.
It's all in favor of that guy. I mean,
Donnie Football?
Russell Wilson. If he can ride the Steelers offense, which I'm not that confident that he would be able to do.
Do you feel great if you're already saying Russell Wilson is my ticket back to a head coaching job? Or would you feel better about saying, yeah, maybe you're right, though. Maybe you're right. Yeah. It is a large project to inherit a college football program.
Huge. And it takes years to build it up sometimes. It's not like, well, I mean, maybe significantly less time because of the portal.
And maybe, again, it depends on the individual. Maybe that's what he wants in the end. Maybe he's like, forget about the NFL. I'm going to go to my alma mater. I do think that's a key note there. And take over their football program. It's not like North Carolina's never recruited players before. They've had talent. But I do agree with limits in the end here, that the easier path back to the NFL, maybe the sensible path, would be that. All right. We have Brian Billick on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Super Bowl winning coach. You know him well. We're in Pittsburgh, for God's sakes. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. We were just discussing Arthur Smith getting mentioned for his alma mater, the North Carolina job. And it leads to a question, Brian. Would you rather in his position be an NFL coordinator? You know, if you're looking to get back in the game as a head coach, would you rather be an NFL coordinator as a way to get there or go to the college ranks and kill it at North Carolina and get back there? What would you do?
Boy, and the climate in college football—you see why everybody is getting out. I'm not a fan of what's going on with college football right now, and dealing with the NIL and the portal and all that type of thing. I'm sure there's a draw to go back to North Carolina, but if your goal is to become a head coach again in the National Football League, the best avenue, I'd stay at the quarterback's positions because it's sheer football compared to what you have to deal with going back into the college game.
Brian, I'm really curious to get your thoughts on Arthur Smith and this offense. You know, you made your bones in the NFL running one of the most prolific offenses we've ever seen in Minnesota. And in some ways, the Steelers are up offensively. They're averaging a few more points a game, a few more yards. But in other ways, You know, the red zone is worse than it was with Matt Canada. Third down conversions worse than it was in Matt Canada's final full season. How do you view this Arthur Smith offense so far this season, especially going into a bunch of games down the stretch against teams that can really score?
Well, the hard thing for him is that you've got to play within the personality of your team and what the Steelers are. And what the Steelers are is play great defense, and they're playing great defense. And you got to run the ball, and then you got to have hope that Russell Wilson can then make those handful of plays, particularly critical plays, whether it be in the red zone or third down, to get the big plays down the field, to keep the drives alive. And they've shown signs of that. I think they're still maturing in that regard and finding what that role is. They've, you know, spectacular win against the Ravens. And then you come back and you scratch your head about losing to the Browns, although, as you know, the week after the Raven-Pittsburgh game, it's a tough one for both teams because you're beat up and all that you put into the wins and the losses in that week when you play the Ravens and the Steelers. So, that's the challenge for him. It's not going to be high-flying numbers and the numbers that you want as a coordinator to show that we're good here, we're good there. But it has to be within the nature of the team. I think they've shown signs of that. They've got to continue to do it. But the key is just what you talked about. That's where Russell Wilson now has to step up, because you're going to run the ball well. You're going to play good defense. You're going to keep the game closest. But you've got it in those key, you know, that handful of throws. You can win the game on a 25-throw game. But those 8 or 10 that are on third down, red zone, where you've really got to make the difference, that's the key.
What's your take on Russ so far in the games that you've seen him?
In the games that I've seen, it looks like he's gotten back into a little more of a rhythm like we used to see him in Seattle, which is a good thing, which is the deep play action fakes, making the play down the field, extend it where you can, and augment the good running game and the fact that he's playing with a great defense, which he knows how to do. That's how he was raised, with a great defense in Seattle, run the ball. And no, I don't have to be a 45-throw guy. I'll make my impact with the 25 or 30 throws that I have. It looks like he's back in that rhythm a little bit, but obviously now, particularly with the stretch of games they got coming up in the playoffs, you got to be able to sustain it.
What did you make? I'm sure you watched the game on Thursday. It's 3rd and 4, and the Steelers are running down the clock, about 3 minutes left, and they bring in Justin Fields, and Russ had been red hot, certainly for the second half. He was having a pretty good night, and they let Fields throw the 50-50 ball down the field to George Pickens. Incomplete. Browns get the ball. We know how it went. What do you make of that decision, and sort of in the larger picture, Brian, sort of managing having a backup quarterback that you want involved, like a Taysom Hill type?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, anytime you're willing to pull your starter off the field for somebody else, it leads to those questions. Because, you know, it's the proverbial, well, this gives us the best chance to win. Well, if that's not your starting quarterback, then those are legitimate questions to have. Now, whether they just trusted Fields to get the ball deeper with a deep throw, or the ability to run around and extend the play, although Russell Wilson's still pretty good at that. Yeah, that's got to be a bit of a head-scratcher, whether they just want to involve Fields. I don't know. There's probably a lot more of the rest of that story as to why they did it.
Did you see the final, the Hail Mary play in the end zone and George Pickens running out of the back of the end zone with Greg Newsom?
No, obviously we've had so many great Hail Mary throws and end-of-the-game throws to win games that has been, you know, with the big one being that Washington game, obviously watching Jalen Daniels do that in such a clinical way. But it's an interesting play in the way it comes together, and it's amazing how often it can be successful.
Well, this wasn't one of them, I can tell you that, yeah. Because Pickens ran out of the back of the end zone. But anyway, your Super Bowl team from the AFC would be who, Brian?
You know, that's the AFC is the exciting division to watch right now. And the NFC, of course, is just the Lions and of course, Minnesota's on the edge as well, but Philadelphia and the Lions seem to be the pick of the pack there. But in the AFC, that's the exciting thing. Even though Kansas City's Kansas City and they are 10-1, and you got to respect that pedigree, to me, everybody's touching, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Pittsburgh, whether it's Baltimore, that are right there. And on any given week, I mean, I'm not a bettor, but if I were, I wouldn't bet on any of those games, because each has shown signs. I can give you three reasons why each of them is going to a Super Bowl. I can give you three reasons why each of those teams isn't. And so that makes it for a very, very interesting race.
Do you take the Steelers seriously as a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
I do, because of that defense, and you can play that defense once you get into the to the playoffs. But the fact that they're going to have to go through Lamar and or Patrick and or Josh Allen, that's a tall task for Pittsburgh right now. In a given game, sure, but to have to do that back to back weeks to get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a challenge.
Brian, I wanted to ask about your work with X-Tech Pads. Black Friday deals, 20% off and free shipping site-wide. XTechPads.com is where people can go. What can you tell us about this product?
Yeah, it's obviously the best. It's the best. It's the most, 85% of the pros are in it. The major colleges, even the major high schools now, we're excited about the youth pad coming out next year. But it's the best pad in the business. And one of the reasons is because it's basically fitted to the player. It's not just big guys get big pads, little guys get little pads. These are pads based on your height, your weight, your playing history, your position, your injury history. In fact, you can go online, and again, as you mentioned, there's the 20% off Black Friday now through Monday. But you can also you can have expert opinions and lining up what do you need your player. The equipment manager online will tell you you need this pad or you need that pad. It's the way to go with pads to take care of the players in this game that we love.
I'll leave you with one vote for MVP. Who is it in the NFL this season?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Lamar's playing awful well. Even Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't have the numbers, but certainly the way he's been pull it out, it's tough to pass up those two.
Thank you, Brian.
All right.
That's Brian Billick, Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl champion. Should I have pressed him at the end? I didn't. For some reason, I didn't feel compelled. I often do. He didn't give me a Super Bowl team from the AFC or an MVP.
No. Did you think he was going to just take outright Lamar? I thought he was.
I don't know. He sounded like he wasn't in a mood to be pressed. So I didn't do my job. I abdicated my responsibility.
He was on another conversation, another interview that went a little bit long.
Was he?
That's what he said, yeah.
Perhaps he was a little annoyed by that. But come on, I asked for a Super Bowl team from the AFC. Give me one. I asked for an MVP. Don't give me two. Have there ever been co-MVPs, Wonder Twin?
I feel like there have been once, yeah. You know there was a kicker that won MVP in the 80s?
Mark Moseley.
Yeah.
MVPs of the NFL. I'm going to look it up right now while you entertain the masses. Who's your MVP?
There have twice been co-MVPs, Peyton Manning and Steve McNair in 2003. Brett Favre and Barry Sanders in 1997.
That's ridiculous. It really is.
My MVP is Joshua Allen of the
To pick
Buffalo
co-MVPs
Bills.
Is unbelievably cowardly. And if you're going to make a habit of it, we could do it every year. Every year, there's at least two guys deserving.
Well,
so any year that there's not an obvious, clear-cut MVP, we get to pick two?
No.
That should be outlawed. They never should have picked two. Never should have picked a kicker.
It's how the votes fell. Like out of all the votes, there was a tie between Manning and McNary.
Then have a tiebreaker limits.
What would be the tiebreaker?
Anything.
The team that won
Go
the Super Bowl
Go back and ask
picks?
To pick. We have another vote with just those two.
The fans pick?
You can't have two MVPs. There is, then it's most valuable players. It goes against the very definition of the award.
Why isn't there an AFC MVP and an NFC MVP? There's an NL MVP and a...
Oh, that's
AL MVP.
I didn't think of that.
There's no Eastern Conference MVP and for the NHL.
It's stupid in baseball, first of all.
You don't like the NL and the
no,
AL?
I think they're doing it wrong. Limits, how can you pick against Lamar right now? He's been, I guess, Josh Allen probably has less to work with, and he's been unbelievable. We just saw him the other day, and they have a better record, but they did lose to Baltimore. I mean, I know we saw Lamar here, and as we've mentioned many times, he and they have a Steeler problem. He leads the NFL by 8 points in passer rating. He has 27 touchdowns and three picks. He's completing 68% of his passes, and did I mention, I don't think I did, that he could still gain 1,000 yards on the ground? I'm sorry. I have to pick Lamar.
Well, maybe I'm suffering from Lamar Jackson voter fatigue, MVP fatigue.
Maybe.
Potentially giving him another. But I feel like what Josh Allen has done with, and I mean, they've given him more weapons with Keon Coleman coming on and Amari Cooper at the deadline. But him and Saquon Barkley, I feel like, just have better cases. Like, Saquon, the way that he has revolutionized Philadelphia, where everybody was trying to fire Sirianni and run him out of town, Saquon might run for 2,000 yards.